This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, September 2nd, 2009.
This is the, where are you going here? Yeah, it's not moving. Oh, there we go. This is the Wednesday, September 2nd, 2009, general meeting of the Employee Assembly in Day Hall 316, Boardroom. Jason Seymour, Chair. I'm going to first start with the roll call. Brooks. Here. Dong Tao. Grove.
Here.
Kroll Hall.
Here.
Lawrence. Osborne?
Here.
Phillips?
Here.
Seymour? Present. Stewart?
Yep.
And Alan Mittman is not able to join us today. And we have three vacancies. At this time, I'd like to call for any late additions to the agenda. I don't know how I'd possibly sneak anything else into this very action-packed meeting anyway, but we always ask. And just to let you know today, the Cornell Daily Sun is here today and their photographer, and I've approved her to walk around the room, take a few snapshots of us. I'm sure that means we're probably going to be in an issue sometime soon. So smile, look happy, you know.
Don't talk with food in your mouth.
Okay. We've introduced a little people update. This meeting, we're just going to go around for the EA members and give during this meeting, we can take a 15 seconds or less little update of what's going on in your work life or personal life that you want to share. I'll start and say it's just a very hectic week. Semester startup is still going, and we're doing a lot of good things in the EA, and I'm very happy to work with you all.
Busy at work, busy at home, and I bought a new house.
Congratulations. Just whatever's going on.
I have had so much going on. It's like world life and
again. I hear you.
My son's going to the state fair Friday and I don't have to go. So.
My mother-in-law stayed with me for 2 months and she left yesterday.
We got a new puppy from our rescue in Tennessee.
I have a 4-year-old dog that I take to the dog park regularly, and I'm also a very good dealer.
Yeah, work's been really crazy for the last couple weeks, but it's overwhelming, but it's also exciting at the same time. You know, everybody's back and in full swing, and it's mind-boggling, but I like it. At the same time, it's exciting, so things are good.
Great. Thank you all. Mary Opperman is running a little bit late, but I want to go ahead and get started with our business of the day, which is the open discussion with Bain Consulting. And so at this time, I'd like to turn it over to Mark Finland.
Can I grab you just for 1 second, real fast, in the hallway?
Sure.
All right, Gary, build a sign.
Let the minutes reflect that skullduggery is taking place in the hallway. Perhaps some illegal payments involving Mark Finland and the chair of the Employee Assembly, Jason Seymour.
My name is David Harris. I'm Deputy Provost of the University and Project Manager for Cornell on the engagement with Bain.
Wonderful.
Let's go around and introduce Bain. Hi. Folks who are just visiting here or our staff or ex officios, please say hello.
Hi, my name is Lucy. I'm a senior runner.
I'm Peggy Beach. I am Director of Campus Relations, and the Assembly's office reports through me for administrative support.
Nicholas Sell, CITIS. I'm from Arizona. I'm considering my chair here.
Can I have the executive officers in the hallway, please?
Great. Could you use someone?
And
we're
interested.
It's like a horror movie.
They go out here and come back.
They don't come back.
I'm Beth Spurgle, and I'm here to talk for a little bit.
Okay.
I'm Mary Ann Chris. I'm the graduate residence manager for Hughes Energy Court and Patrick.
I'm Beth McKinney with the Wellness Program. I'm your employee elected trustee.
Kathy Shields, the director of admissions in Cal.
Oh.
I'm Tim Ostrander. I'm the props coordinator from the theater department, and I'm here as a candidate for to fill one of your spots.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Leslie Morris, and I'm the manager of marketing and public relations down at the Schwartz Center. There's a contingent on us today. And I'm also interested in being a candidate for the public.
Well,
you have to introduce yourself.
What's that?
So we can feed information to the masses about our upcoming show.
What area?
How things that we're doing.
Busy.
Yeah, we're just really like busy. Tearing our hair off.
Not enough time in the day by far.
Thanks for being here, Ninja.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, this is Jason Seymour. This meeting's back in order. The executive committee met in closed session for a quick discussion in relation to our presentation today. So we are going to go ahead with a open discussion with Bain Consulting. Mary Opperman has just joined us. No problem. So,
Okay, so this is going to be a little process update, and then I'm just going to kind of open it up to people for some questions. Two additional people that want to make note are here. David Harris, if any of you don't know him, he can obviously introduce himself and his role.
I just did while you were
gone. Okay. And then everyone, I think, knows Mary as well.
I know me.
We don't have a lot of that, but I didn't know everyone knew you were. So I'm Mark Simon. I'm the project manager from Bain & Company, working on this project. I've met most of you now at a session about a month ago, but I do see some new faces. I previously worked on a project at the University of North Carolina for 5 months, so I've been working in higher ed for the all of 2009 and some of 2008. And we have been brought in to help Cornell think about how it can address the budget deficit by looking at the administrative side of things, so things outside of the academic or curriculum arena. That doesn't mean those things aren't being looked at, but it's not being looked at by Bain. We are about halfway, a little bit more than halfway through our process right now. It's kind of a four-step process. I mentioned to you guys last time, we were just finishing up our, it's very disturbing to have my picture taken. This would normally happen in the boardroom. Yeah. That last time we were about the 6 week point, we just were finishing up kind of building our fact base. We're now 6 more weeks in and just finally getting to the point where based on that fact base, we want to start having more broad discussions about potential opportunities that the university could take a further look at. As we start to come to those decisions, we'll be engaging with people throughout the university to vet and build potential opportunities around different actions Cornell could take. That doesn't mean we'll be making any decisions, obviously, or even necessarily recommendations, providing David Scort and Kent Fox and the senior leadership a menu of options of here are different things you could do. Where do you think it makes sense for the University of Cornell to make action? Which is why it's important for Bain not to make the decisions, because obviously Kent and David and the leadership here understand the culture and uniqueness of Cornell, and the decisions make a lot more sense for this university. So that's kind of just where we are in the process, and I've shared a lot of the remainder with you guys before. I was just going to kind of open it up to questions. Now that you guys have heard a little bit more, there's obviously an article about us on the front page of the Sun. If you have any questions about that, obviously I'll be happy to answer them as well. Great, no questions.
I didn't read the front page of the Sun article yet. How many people so far has Bain talked to in the staff at Cornell University?
So we have spoken with around 350 people. I consider a forum like this appropriately small that I can consider that I have spoken to each of you. Faculty Senate doesn't count. That's like 150 people at once. To just count them and the people we've spoken to, I think is a little bit misleading. But in forums of 20 or smaller, which generally have been one-on-one with about 350 people.
And just to clarify, the reason why I'm asking is because when I talk to folks and say something about well-being and looking at the administration, some people look at me and say, huh? And they've never heard of it, and they could just not be reading anything. But I have this feeling that somebody would at least know somebody who's been interviewed or met or seen or heard of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds to me like a lot of people still haven't, but the opportunity for you to go specifically to more and different groups in the future.
We can talk offline. If you tell me what unit you're talking about, I can tell you exactly what I've talked about. I need, as long as I didn't meet with them in an anonymous setting, to make sure that we have appropriately represented that college or that unit, and if we don't feel like we have, we absolutely should meet with more people from that area. Obviously, we're not going to be able to meet with everyone, right? But 350 people that I've basically almost all met myself one-on-one in the course of about 2.5 months is, each meeting an hour, that's 350 hours each meeting. So we have, I do feel like, been getting a pretty good broad brush of understanding of the university. Obviously not as well as people who live and breathe it every day, but if there's an area you're specifically concerned about, I'd be happy to hear about it and just meet with more people in that area.
Okay. I would love to just email you a few quick questions just to see if the people I've talked to just aren't in a loop.
Absolutely. Okay. And another thing to remember, since we're doing a university-wide diagnostic, there are various filters that we use. So if the person you're talking about is in a $200,000 unit, I mean, that's not very much, that's not very big, right? There isn't necessarily a lot of opportunity for Cornell to address some of their energy costs in that unit. So it's possible that fell off our filter. That's not to say that there aren't opportunities in that area, but we'll be left up to that manager or director to come up with recommendations for you. So yeah, I'd welcome an email to talk about this area.
Just amplify, two just quick things to amplify. Remind people that one, seems like a good time to advertise. It's a forum on Friday.
Yes.
So hopefully all of you know that, but if you don't, I'll remind you, 12 to 1. Is it a biotech?
G10?
I'm sorry? Okay. Biotech G10, noon. And so that's going to be an opportunity for many more people to engage the process. And the other, just to remind you also, there's a website. And the website has an email address that people can, if they want to engage in that way. And those notes come in, I see them, Mark sees them, appropriate people. So if people aren't, if they haven't been contacted, there's some other ways for them to get in the process.
I didn't know that.
Oh, good.
Oh. You're not the first person to say that.
So Mark, some of us talked to our colleagues at the University of North Carolina.
Okay, great.
And appreciate your help facilitating that.
Brenda will certainly tell you what's on her mind.
Yeah, we had a really good conversation. And it sounded like they had a really good process down there. Is there anything that the University of North Carolina did to help inform employees and keep them in the loop that we're not doing and could be doing?
It is more difficult here because your guys' problem is much larger, and you guys already have cut $85 million or whatever the appropriate number is. So the fact that you guys already were halfway in and we came in probably in April process, I think it's added to a little bit of the confusion as to what our role is in the communication. So obviously there are things that can be improved, but I think a lot of that is controlled by the dynamic, all the moving parts, obviously their academic input as well. And I know it's something specifically why David has been stood up as the project manager, that you actually have someone dedicated to try to figure out how to get all these moving parts together. Obviously there's still work being done, but there's the website we imagine in Cornell. And these forums coming up over the next month, I think, are going to be key that David's been setting up with the University Assembly, the Faculty Senate, the Employee Assembly, to do a better job of getting the word out so that people are clear, like, who are they, what are they doing, what's their role in this overall process. So I think people are just feeling the lag of, well, we've already been making cuts for a year. It's hard for us to continue to be patient while Bain's kind of getting up to speed and doing their piece. And I think just continued communication as broadly and as openly as possible is going to be important. But I think you're right, there is room to improve, and I don't think anyone would disagree there's room to improve.
David, are we doing any mass emails? I mean, I know people go back and forth on the effectiveness of that, and if people read that or not, but I don't see a downside to it.
Right. So, unless you get a whole bunch of them.
Right.
So, I've been working with Tommy Bruce increasingly over the last couple of weeks, because we are concerned about, we are hearing people say, either to us individually, or we get emails sometimes that say, you know, I don't know enough, or ask questions that lead us to, that make it clear to us that they don't understand some things, which is our fault that they don't understand these things usually. And so we've been working with Tommy and trying to develop a communication strategy that's going to be multifaceted. So there's the forums, which are sort of the leading edge of this strategy, but there are other things that we roll out in the next few weeks to provide many different opportunities for individuals to learn and to share their perspectives and to have dialogue. So we're looking at different formats because, you know, one format works well for one person,
that's
another
right.
format works well for another.
Thank you.
I saw a change over here, I saw it. I'm just going to ask something along the lines.
Okay.
My wondering, is there any ongoing plan as new things come to light, as make decisions, put out press releases or things that sort of announce? This is what we're considering in the moment, the status. And again, how to get that information out is my big question too, especially students, because my sense is students are completely oblivious.
So we did it over the summer. We started in June, and so all the students are gone. So we have to start the 18th of June assembly to let them know what's been going on.
I was just
going
to add in conversation to represent employees at many different levels, and sometimes the leadership level that inform and part of the dialogue will often have the solutions that are somewhat in the middle of that, and the discussions are happening there, at least in my unit, quite vigorously. And but the underlying sense of trust and security and offering options, I think is something to be considered for employees.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure you're countering that confidentiality, yep. But some of the best ideas are flourishing in those environments that get perhaps not going any further because of security and trust.
I think if we went back and looked at the numbers, the number of what you would consider more frontline employees, we've met with more of them than we have with senior leaders. Obviously, we've met with the senior leaders probably more frequently in general, but certainly the numbers would skew that way. We've done focus groups with distributed HR personnel, IT personnel, finance personnel. We've met with people within all the different facilities groups, whether it's building care or grounds or the PDC shops. So we have been trying to get to as much of the frontline employees as we can, because to your point, much different perspective, and it's always interesting to balance the leadership perspective with the frontline perspective to see where is there a connection versus a disconnect. And actually, the organization structure, depending upon how you're structured as a university, sometimes can create a level of bureaucracy between the top and the bottom, which contributes to that. And actually, addressing that is one of the things we're looking at, is just a efficiency for the university. How can we be better structured to communicate? You know what the top is thinking. The top really truly knows what's going on in their organization as well.
To follow up with his question, how are you looking to engage students? What are you trying to get from
them? I think at this point it's probably just going to be purely communicating what's going on, like who are we, why we are here, what's the process. From a Bain perspective, obviously, Dave and the university have a broader mission to communicate this reimagining Cornell umbrella project that was going on that we are a part of. So I'm guessing the first piece is going to be communication, but then any areas that could potentially start to impact the student experience more directly. So if you are looking at things within Susan Murphy's area, those things could more directly impact the students. And that's where you're going to start to solicit specific feedback or impact, or put a focus group together to understand the impact of addressing some of those areas. So I don't think you'll necessarily directly go and ask them, if we were talking to Mary about something in her group, their opinion on that, but there are certain areas where their opinion I think is really important because they'll see the direct impact of that.
So just make more brief, I'm trying to say as little as I can, as little as possible here. It's important to get to pick up on something Mark said here about contextualizing names. And this is where, if you haven't been to the website, it's right off the Cornell.edu. On the left, you'll see a bunch of things, and one of them says strategic planning. If you just click on that, you'll go right to the Reimagining Cornell website. It's important to contextualize this, as Mark said a couple times. Bain is a piece of this, but there are a bunch of other task forces. There are, I think, eight or so other task forces. There's more than that, actually. There's one for every college. One for every college, plus there are three cross-cutting task forces around social sciences, life sciences, and management sciences. There's one on the student enrollment task force that's trying to understand what we might do with enrollment numbers to affect revenue. There's one on the budget models. And Bain is not leading any of those. And Bain is a support, generally a small support, on only a couple of them. So there's a big project, And it's helpful to really help have Mark here to talk about the Bain piece. I just don't want to leave people with the impression that Bain is the entire process.
Certainly for the people who come to this, since it is the employee or the staff assembly, and we are looking at administrative or non-faculty type costs, obviously you'll be a little bit more interested in some of the stuff we're looking at, but it's only a piece of what David is talking about as well.
And I have a question for the group of you, in that the employees that I've talked to, and even myself, am I thinking, once Bain is done and has this report, which, you know, we have such high expectations for whatever's going to be in there, then we'll know what we're doing. And so in terms of your experience and the expectation of the administration, how long does it typically take before we actually feel like we know what we're doing or what we'll do with the results? Is it going to be in 6 months, a year?
Some of that will be in the hands of David and Kent for how quickly they make decisions in certain areas. But there is a Board of Trustees meeting on October 24th, mm-hmm. which we don't technically end our project until the first week in November, but we will have everything done, packaged, and ready for delivery to the Board of Trustees absolutely by that date. It just says, again, not necessarily specific recommendations, but here are all the things we've found you could potentially do. And then, I mean, you want to make sure you make the right decisions, so there could be a 1 to 2 month process there at least. But it's just going to be up to the leadership for how quickly they make decisions. In some areas, it might be easier to make decisions than other areas. I think you can report pretty quickly.
So let me try to go back to something that David said. This is an enormous diversity, and the solutions are going to come in doing some things differently, not doing something, and in changing some of the things that we do, and it's going to come out of a number of these task forces. It's probably some of the things we haven't even thought of yet. Some of our future will come maybe out of what happens in the economy. It's completely out of our control. So we'll be able to plan and put in timelines some part of our solutions, but not all. And I completely understand, sympathize, and share the sense of this campus who has been, we've been through a tough year last year, with just wanting a timeline. When will this be over? When can we get back to something that we understand and move on? But I don't think that we do ourselves, I don't think I can be if I say, so on December 1, we'll be done, and then we'll know, and then I think we'll know some things by the end of the year, and we won't know others. And some solutions will take us a while to put in place, and other things I think we won't know for a while. So I think these will be rolling throughout the rest of this year and into the following year. And I have a lot of confidence in the staff and faculty of Cornell to be able to help us actually solve a lot of these problems together. I mean, that's what makes this community. But I think we would be kidding ourselves if we thought Bain will finish in October or November, and then we'll be, you know, we'll gnash about for a couple of months and then we'll be done. This is a huge place. It's a kind of a big problem. And it's going to be, I think, a long time before we have our future.
That information will make a big difference, though. As the district shared, I mean, obviously the UNC report, the State University had to be public, but at least as that got released, people truly felt like, all right, these make sense to me. At least I get a sense of what we're looking at and what decisions are going to be made over the next few months. They didn't necessarily know the exact timeline, but at least they got a sense of what decisions were being contemplated, which I think is helpful.
And I think the communication piece, in one sense of their thinking, employers are thinking, well, we have the first year of cuts, and then we need to have the second year of cuts, as was described to us, which will theoretically be more strategic. And then they're also learning about this reimagining Cornell project, thinking, oh, that's the strategic piece, but it won't be done all in that second year. And I think there might be a disconnect with how some people are thinking about that. I think it's just alert for the communications post to send out that message in that way.
I think just, you know, I think at the risk, in the position I'm in, I should probably stop saying, like this, I'm going to try something out of it. But I think one way to think about this is if you think about your own life, or I'll just think about my own, you say, you know, I need to lose some weight, you know? You can hire a personal trainer. That personal trainer can come in. The personal trainer can't lose the weight for you. The personal trainer can look around, understand what you do, has a lot of expertise and background to provide some tips on how to eat better, how to exercise, how to do some things. But you have to decide what you want to do, and you have to decide what works with you. It might be that because of childcare responsibilities or work or something else, you can't exercise from 5 to 6 in the morning. It just doesn't work. Right? You'll figure that out with the input. But it's also the case that you don't magically lose the weight and keep it off long-term, which is what we have to do, right? Because a personal trainer came in and you've got it a month later. So I think, in my, at least as I have been thinking a lot about this process, it's kind of like that. So it'll take a little time. You'll identify your goals, but it'll take you a while to get there, especially if you get there in a way that you're not, what do they call it, boomerang, or what's the diet?
Yo-yo.
Yo-yo, right? Especially if you want to do it the right way, it's not yo-yo, right? You make some cuts, but you did it in a way that they're going to come back in a year, and then you find yourself in the cuts again. And none of us want to do that in our personal lives around diet, right? Or in an institution. I don't know if that's a helpful way to think about that.
I'm trying to figure out if I like being called a personal trainer. Yeah.
Dress differently, perhaps.
Better than
one other thing I was going to add on the student question, we got asked about how we engage the students. We did actually, what I thought was a fun thing at UNC, one of their strategy professors told his class of undergrads to come up with ideas for how UNC could address the budget crisis. And then I actually read through all the reports, went and sat in their class, and they presented and I gave them feedback on their ideas. So if that was something that a professor here wanted to do, but it actually gave us some ideas too, right? But it also helped them understand the complexities of why some of their suggestions weren't just so easy as to take advantage of too. So I thought that was a neat way to get them involved.
I have one question for you. Mm-hmm. I know the first phase you were kind of gathering ideas, and then I think this phase now you're kind of taking those ideas and kind of figuring out what the ultimate impact could be and mm-hmm. the details around them. And one of the questions I have around is, are you at all considering the impact on the greater community that we reside in on some of these ideas? And the reason I ask that mm-hmm. is procurement's been put out there is one of the big ones. Well, I've seen some businesses go under since we're no longer catering externally. And things like that, and I think ultimately if there's more failed businesses in the community because of this, it will ultimately impact us. So from an economic standpoint, I was just wondering if that's at all being factored into some of the decisions and thinking?
It is, and okay. Obviously David and Mary can speak to this as well. This is why the university is so different. I mean, this is a very close-knit
exactly.
community. I mean,
exactly.
If someone loses their job in Ithaca, there's a very high percent chance they're going to have to move. From working at Cornell because there aren't necessarily other options. The same thing for small businesses in the area. So you will leave and go to the grocery store. There might be somebody there that you're best friends with who lost their job from Cornell. It's a lot different than if you were at NYU or something like that, right? So definitely something that I know is on ours and David and Kent's radar screen, the political impact of decisions. And it wasn't just similar to UNC since they are a state institution. Similar to the grant, the land grant mission, you guys do have a duty to the state to some extent. So when you're considering doing X, is that in the best interest of the state of New York? Does have to be taken into context. You guys get funding to be a service provider to the state. So there were things that could have been done at UNC that might have saved some money that the chancellor said, these are off the table because this is not part of our university's mission. So since you guys have that land grant mission, I would add that on top of your guys' fiduciary responsibility, not just from the fact that you guys are kind of like part of the Ithaca community that's also that state mission as well.
We're having those conversations all the time. And I think that this, if you take a look at the operating budget, there's no right answer to this, right? Because about, give or take, about 55-60% of the operating budget are our own people. The remainder of the operating budget is non-personnel costs. And so when you're looking at procurement, it is a real decision. When you talk about putting the funding into our own people or the local community, you are talking about people downtown versus people here. And there isn't a right answer to that question. It's a balancing act. We are ourselves, right? This local community, it touches this internal Cornell community each and every time we make a decision. There's not a way you tip that scale that you can ever feel good about. But the reality still exists that the operating budget has to be brought into alignment. So the president and the provost ultimately have to make calls where they, I mean, it's hard to feel good about either one of them. But yeah, that's the front and center in the values that they're holding from.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Any other further questions for Mark Finlan or Mary Opperman?
Or David Harris?
Okay.
Did I choose along with them? Did I provide my services?
If you're welcome to stay
no,
all the time.
I have used my phone.
You can even eat your lunch here.
Okay.
Thank you, Mark and Mary.
It helps you getting on the calendar again.
Yes, I have you. October 7th, is that confirmed? With?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
You know what the date is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll be in touch.
All right.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Okay.
Out of curiosity, because I look at admissions, mm-hmm. Do you see have any negative impact with the public with their recruitment?
We didn't hear anything about that specifically. I mean, given they're a state university and considering one of the best staffs there, we're in a downturn, they actually saw applications up. So it's hard to tell the covariance between how much of the negativity of potential publicity is coming versus the specific value.
That's
hard.
We don't have to
Just a quick comment, I guess, to the mission that's reporting up in my direction for me. I think one of the things that's really important, and we didn't say it yet, but hopefully you all know it, is that what Cornell is facing is not dissimilar from what our peers are facing. And that's really important, because if this was just Cornell did something and now Cornell's a big financial problem, then I think we'd be in a much worse position of saying, well, everyone's going to leave because they have no confidence in us. So a huge chunk of this is exogenous, if you will. It happened to us. And it's happened to our colleagues. Some decisions we made interact with it, but it happened to all of these. So that means the kids looking at Cornell, we're looking at Penn and Columbia and on, all those schools have the problem. I hope
Harvard's
that
worse.
Harvard is worse. Let the record not show that we're having to show the teacher. But the last thing I say about this is I hope that students and their parents will say, you know, I'm actually happy Cornell is trying to be proactive and doing something about it, and doing something in a constructive way, as opposed to having this happen, and who knows how they're going to react. So hopefully that can be
the
story.
From the news we're able to point to the website, and that would be more transparent and
right.
Transparent,
right.
And not all their peers are.
Right, that's right. So hopefully
right.
We can settle
that. That was the other thing I was going to say. You know, communication is always an area you can do better in, and where we obviously want to go into. But I do think we're trying to talk to our staff, and you know, we want to do better at that. But we are trying, and not everyone is engaging as openly. And so with that comes due criticism when you don't do it as well. But we want to hear that and do better. But we are trying to be open as we can, because I think the solutions do reside in that.
All right, so hopefully see you on Friday at noon if you can.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
David, thanks for coming.
Okay, moving along in our agenda, I think we probably are well-paced now to get through the rest of the things, hopefully. Our report from our employee-elected trustee, Beth?
I have no report. Okay.
No report is a fast report. Okay. Report from the chair. We do have some really action-packed meetings, the next few ones, and we're probably going to be booking more up for the rest of the year. So I'm going to really try to start the meetings as close to on time as possible to milk every possible minute that we can get out of these meeting times, because we've got a great group here, and we're trying to accomplish a lot, and we need to hear from some of these leaders and our senior management of the university and just to at least understand greater parts of the university. So it's going to be kind of hard to crunch in our reports and our updates with one speaker, and especially when we have two speakers, it can be kind of tight. So obviously if you can't always be here exactly on time for whatever reason, I understand that, but just try to be here a few minutes early, perhaps at noon if you can, to be seated and ready to go at 12:15. We're going to change we talked about it in the executive committee. We're going to change how the agenda of the meeting flows a little bit with committee reports. Rather than having all of our committees always listed and, you know, having them say no report, Tanya will reach out to the chairs of the committees and seek information that should be attached to the agenda. So for this meeting, we do not have any other reports from our committees, and the IOC, or Internal Operations Committee, is going to have a report, and we'll hear from our potential EA candidates. So that's a little bit change to the agenda. You won't always see all our committees listed. And that way, when committees do have something to report, we can know more in advance from them how much time they think they would need so that we can help plan the agenda. Does anybody have questions or concerns about that change? Over the next few months or so, we're probably going to be getting some resolutions out, and I really want to make sure that a resolution, to clarify, is a formal written motion of this body, and we will try to distribute some of those resolutions in advance via email so that you can read them, we can have a discussion upon them, so that we really are hearing them for the first time at a meeting, and we're not going to have a resolution proposed and voted on in the same meeting, because everybody should have due notice to review the resolution. So Gary has sent out some information about a climate action plan resolution that should not be news to anybody. It's been out in email. He's sending us some reports and information that we're going to still read. That is your obligation to read so that you're informed that when that resolution formally comes to the table a meeting or so from now, you know that it was coming up for a vote. So just keep that in mind. And that's all I have. So we'll go to the approval of the minutes of the August 19th meeting. I'll just give a minute or so for people to review those minutes. And we'll entertain a motion to approve or amend the minutes in about a minute. Did you find that, Amy?
Yes.
Okay. Any objections to that amendment? I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes as amended.
I make a motion to approve.
By Leon, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor of approving the minutes as amended, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Abstained. Our August 19th minutes are approved as amended. Okay, moving on to committee reports. The executive committee, one of you, give an update on what we've been talking about?
Well, our last executive committee meeting, we spoke with University of Iowa, correct? For probably a good half an hour, and really just asked them numerous questions about how they operate, what some of their major projects were in the last few years and accomplishments. And I thought it was really I thought it was a great experience. I think they had some really a lot of structure. They seemed very involved. They had monthly meetings with their president. It seemed like their staff outreach was better than ours, and like they were really on the ball. They've had electronic voting for 10 years, and this was our first year, right, doing that. So they were, I thought they were really on the ball. I'd actually like to contact them again in the future if we try to implement some ideas that we got from them, to just reach out to them again and be like, hey, we're trying to get this started. How did this go for you? I thought it was excellent, though. I really enjoyed speaking with them.
For anyone that doesn't know, this is the Iowa City, correct?
Yeah.
This is where President Skorton came from. So they raved about him and were sad to see him go. But, you know, so we're trying to, and President Skorton is very supportive of the campus governance system. So we're trying to learn a little bit about where he's coming from to help build us and make us stronger. So I think we've got some really good ideas from them. They also have a very different structure, and they're much larger in their representation. And we, Leon hosted an ad hoc charter review committee meeting where we took that into consideration too, and we'll be talking about how the EA is structured, and that's obviously one example of how they're structured is something that we would look at. So it was really good to talk to them.
I think the interesting fact to come out of there is that Iowa, I think in the charter, that there's one representative per 100 staff. So their, it's out there called Staff Council, has 57 members. So they're, and then they work to really get all corners of the campus represented, which seems like a really good philosophy in terms of just representation. So we're continuing to do some research, and I'm going to put together a report sometime for us to kick around, and we'll go from there.
Thank you. Anything else from the executive committee? Tanya? Gary? Okay. Moving on to internal operations committee. I guess I'll turn it over to Tanya first to say if you have anything non-candidate election related first.
Not candidate election related, not really, but I don't know if, Leon, you want to talk about the meeting that we had, which was kind of about membership elections, or there's not much to say about that.
Yeah. Oh, was that the under ad
hoc? Oh, I missed it, sorry.
Ad hoc charter review?
Sorry, I didn't. Okay. Yeah.
No problem.
So no, nothing else to report.
Okay. So under the Internal Operations Committee, I'd like to entertain a motion to officially close the solicitation for employees to fill our vacant seats. What this essentially means is that we put out due notice in the paw print from my article calling for people, and you know the seats have been open on the website for years. So it's pretty obvious that we'd like them to. But what this does is we have a slate of interested people. This is going to formally close it at this time so that we can then go into hearing from our candidates, and then hopefully at our next meeting vote those candidates into the seats. So I'll entertain that motion.
I'll second
that motion.
It's Anita
first.
I first.
So moved. Okay. So moved by Tanya and seconded by David. Any objection? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Abstain? Good. So our solicitation for employee candidates to fill our seats is now closed. We will now open the floor up to our candidates one by one and I think we can probably have maybe like 3 to 4 minutes. Please give an introduction of yourself, where you work, whether you're contract or endowed, exempt, non-exempt, and basically you know, why are you interested in the employee assembly, and why should we consider you for our open seat? This is highly unusual that we got so many open seats, and then all of a sudden we have more candidates than we have seats, so we are going to have to actually have an election contest to determine who should be seated, so it's kind of new for us, so that's about it. Is there anything else to add? Okay. So, Kathleen, do you want to start? Introduce yourself.
Sure. So
stay here?
You can stand up or scoot up to the table if you'd like.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Kathleen Steele, and I'm currently the Associate Director of Admissions in the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, starting my sixth year in that role. I'm a 20-year Cornell employee veteran. I graduated from Cornell in 1989 from Ag and Life Sciences, and have been employed since. I spent 4 years as an extension educator on an outreach program off-site in Western New York. Came back to campus in 1993 to direct an extension program. Did that for 11 years. So I had three primary roles in Cornell: extension. I was also an academic professional doing research and extension work in applied economics and management. And now I'm on the student services side of Cornell. So I think I can bring those three perspectives to the table from an employee professional perspective. So I'm exempt and obviously in the contract college. I earned my graduate degree and my master's degree in human ecology along the way in policy analysis and management. So I am interested in policy development, implementation, policy discussion, which is part of what I think goes on here, or at least we inform policy, the president, provost, and some of the task forces that are happening right now. I believe I can bring that interest and skill set to the table. I also am at a point in my career with Cornell that I have time to invest in such a role. I'm also interested in having a broader role or invested in Cornell. I largely know the contract extension I know pretty well, youth services I know well, perhaps don't know some of the other features of Cornell as well. So for selfish interest, that I would look for personally as well as I can bring to the table. I also think it's a rapid time of change going on at Cornell. In my 20 years here, in my third economic downturn I've experienced. The other two I actually had more control over because I managed the program and had grant money. This one I have less control over because I'm part of a larger entity. But I also think it's here to stay with us. I'm not convinced it's going to be an end point. And we're all going to go on, and it's going to be business as usual. I've been in admissions for 5 years, and every year I've had to cut back expenditures, look at doing things differently, use resources differently. And I just think it's a fact of life. And I think we have to support staff in creating that mindset, and that there's not going to be an end game, and life will go on, because if we don't embrace that mindset, we're just going to be challenged in this environment instead of seeing it as an opportunity to be creative. So that's what I would bring to the table. Should I open up the questions, Jason? Or?
Sure. Anybody have any questions for Kathleen? Are you able to attend our next meeting, September 16th, same
yes.
time?
Yes.
Okay. Because we will likely be scheduling a vote, that meeting, and we may open it up for a few more Q&A or
okay.
questions then.
Okay.
We'll be in touch with you, Steve. Did you? Okay.
Welcome to the EA, and we would glad to have you.
Thank you. I know my friend here from the training.
I have a question. Just in general, what do you think is the major concern with staff or Cornell currently?
Uncertainty. Everybody really believes right now. It's current today.
Yes.
Uncertainty is the word that comes to mind, and in many different factors. Not seeing the end game. Like, I've had to put numerous reports together for our being, but sometimes don't know why I'm putting them together. So, period of uncertainty, but yet having to do, you know, their daily work at the same time, which is intensified.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have three seats to fill. Ned?
I just stand if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Ned LaSalle, I work at CITIS. I'm infrastructure services engineer at the new group that just got formed. So we're going through massive change right now, too. So I'm relatively new to Cornell. I worked at New York City Electric and Gas for 18 years in application development and infrastructure specialist in IT. We also went through rather severe constriction of people from the early 1990s all the way through. So it's interesting to see the viewpoint that people who haven't experienced it before are going through it. So it's like, yeah, this is really happening, and yep, this is how it works. And it also happened outside of us, but we stayed in New York decided to say, yeah, you know, we're going to be generators, so you know, we just know people. So I'll try to be succinct. Some of my educational history, you can laugh at, I have some great jokes with people. I was a math major, chemistry minor, and biology minor at Colton College. I went to grad school at University of Georgia, veterinary parasitology, and now I work for computers, so go figure it out. So I've been in the field probably 22 years. Like I said, I'm new to Cornell, I've been here 4 years. So some of the things you might be interested in, at NYSEG, I was one of the starters of bringing Lotus Notes as a communication vehicle into NYSEG, because we have a disparate community the whole state, provide communication for all groups across the company. At Cornell, similarly, I've been an advocate for tools like Confluence, SourceForge, Jira, which we support, and then a champion for that in our team. I really am an advocate for one-on-one communication and also communication streams to management, and that was part of the charter group that got set up as part of the IS Pulse team. It was a direct result from the QWL surveys that came out, and some of the not-so-nice things that IS was seeing as far as the data. We needed a better way to get staff communication up to management that was anonymous, so we have an electronic way of doing it, as well as one-on-one folks being able to communicate with management. And that's been successful. Every 2 months have a theme survey, so they're short, sweet, and we have non-theme surveys on the opposite 2 months. That's been good. Why do I want to support staff? That, my main thing is I want to see staff be mentored and successful. That's been my passion. I coach kids in soccer. We do a whole bunch of things like that. So, and I'm service oriented. I enjoy helping people. So that's really my bent on things. That's why I want to do what I do. And even if I don't get in here, that's fine. I have lots to do locally. Busy, busy, busy. So.
To all our interested candidates, if you don't get these seats, we still have open spots all over in our committee. So, don't be discouraged if you don't get the seat just due to the numbers. We'd love to have you help us any way you can. So, in the interest of time, I'm just going to pose Leon's same question to all our candidates: is what do you see as maybe the number one or issue facing employees?
I'd say shrinking staff size is an issue, but along with that, you see the shrinking staff burden of work, and then it becomes a trust issue too. Who do I trust? That cycle happened in NYSEG 4 times, and it doesn't go away. So I'd say that's one of the things that we did with the Pulse team, is try to get people's trust back. Were we successful? I think we were. It's hard to say, but we're constantly dealing with a trust issue, and I think it's true across the university. If you don't realize it, it's really there. When you treat staff like that, it gets nervous. So.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Are you going to be able to attend the September 16th meeting? Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to kind of cut anybody else off for questions, so everyone that's still waiting, we're going to ask you the same question. So, Tim?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I take the chairs.
Yeah, you can. Can or stand or smoking.
Smoking if you come. I'm Tim Ostrander. I'm the props coordinator for the Department of Theater, Film, and Dance.
And I am in the endowed school department and am exempt. For me, the events of the past year have really inspired me to get a lot more involved with the goings-on in our department. So I think looking into the employee assembly is sort of a logical extension of that. There's this desire to play some role in what's going on and have, hopefully, my voice heard. And that's one of the things that really does concern me, and we touched on it, just talking to Mary and Mark, was the communication issue. Is I've been deeply, at times, frustrated to see how communication has been so weak from the level of administration to faculty, staff, employees, and it does feel like it's something that needs to be improved a lot, because the amount of scuttlebutt and hearsay and rumor that has been going around is really distressing. So I would love to play a part in trying to encourage, enhance, improve that whole process. I think the skills I bring to the table are sort of a quirky assortment of things, maybe. Aside from working at the theater department for the past 9 years, I also am a 1988 alumnus of Cornell. I'm a native Ithacan, and I am also the child of an emeritus professor. Short of having many sandwiches at College Town Bagels, I have a very broad, wide-ranging knowledge of the Cornell and Ithaca communities, so I think that might serve as a unique element. Also, for the past however many years, and while I was here in school, I've been an actor and a comedian, so I am very comfortable standing in front of groups, speaking, and, as is often the case, humiliating and embarrassing myself.
So, we're good.
I'm very comfortable doing that, which maybe I've done now or not, I don't know. But anyway, that's sort of the broad.
What employee concern do you think would be your number one? I mean, it's kind of, it's not to say that it's going to be similar to everybody else.
Sure, because, sure.
You know, it might be.
No, I mean, I think everyone has different angles that they're coming from. And for me, it's been the communication thing, the lack of communication. Just, it's very difficult to find information that seems valid, meaningful, whether it's looking in the Sun, looking in the Chronicle. You have to hunt for it, and maybe that's beholden upon all of us to do, but it does feel like there should be a way to broadcast stuff out there more, especially for students. I mean, it's amazing to see how uninformed they are about all this, and they should be more so. So that's my sense.
Thank you.
Sure.
Are you available for September 16th?
Yes.
Okay. Leslie?
I, however, do not like to embarrass. I'm the marketing and public relations manager at the Short Center for the Performing Arts, the Department of Theater, Film, and Dance. I have held that position for 12 years, hard to believe, and before that, I served for 5 years as the Director of Communications at Elmira College. So I have a wealth of experience in higher education, public relations, website, marketing, social networking, Web 2.0, the whole gamut. So basically one of the reasons I decided to step forward with the Employee Assembly is because, like Tim, I find communication on campus, I think there's just a huge void, and I'm hoping in whatever small way I can to help to alleviate that problem. I mean, just point in case, I was bringing my child care grant up here today, and I asked one of my fellow workers who just had a baby, I'm like, hey, you got your child care grant ready. She's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Wow. And I'm like, well, you know, I explained it to her, and I was like, it's just collect benefits. She's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And, you know, this is the person who checked her email, who, you know, he's worked at the university for 3 years. So, I mean, it's frustrating for me as a communicator to continually run into these types of issues on campus. On a positive note, though, I was very excited to see the energy and enthusiasm behind the email solicitation for the cost-saving measures here on campus. I felt, you know, anybody from a band A to a band I could put in emails about what they thought they could do to help the university. I felt really strongly a collegiality experience there, and I just feel like maybe we could do something
along those same lines to keep communication flowing and that energy and excitement going. And there's ways you can do that through viral email communication and those types of things. So anything I can do to help in those areas, I really would enjoy helping. Oh, I served on the communications review working group, the Tommy Group, which I really enjoy. And other issues I'm interested in, because I was a 10-year Omni rider, and I'm a rideshare person right now, so I feel strongly about sustainability and public transportation, and I really would like to seek ways to help people not only meet people's and staff needs, but you know, to help the university be sustainable, and I don't think the university does a really great job of that. I know from personal experience, because I rode the bus for 10 years, and it was a great experience. I'm also interested in wellness and family life issues. I have my background in journalism, master's in education.
What would be your big employee concern?
Having gone through what everybody has gone through the last year and losing very close friends with staff cuts, I think it's, people are just, they're frightened for their jobs, mm-hmm. and they're frightened to hear what's going on, and I think the more we can communicate and be transparent, I think the less frightened people are going to be. There's an atmosphere of mistrust now, and I don't personally feel that the first round of cuts were handled all that well, mm-hmm. and I think we could do a lot better for our employees.
Thank you very much. No, we have one more candidate that was not able to be here today. We will hear from him at our next meeting before voting. So our next meeting, September 16th, we do have President Scorton, Mary Opperman, and sustainability guests. So it'll be an action-packed meeting, and then at the very end we will be conducting a vote to seat to fill our three remaining seats. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Yep.
Very much.
So moving on to the ad hoc charter review. Did you have anything you wanted to report?
Just in brief. we did meet. There's going to be a continuation of meetings. What we're trying to do regarding the membership part of the charter, we're reviewing that to see what makes sense in today's world. And Gary, as you know, sent out, I think it was Gary, that sent out how other assemblies throughout the country, how they're organized and how they, do their membership. We're looking at these possibilities. Nothing is set in stone. It's all brainstorming at this point, but perhaps basing it on job classifications or the buildings that we work in, or combining some buildings that are where some are smaller than others, or areas of interest such as transportation, as well as structure the graduate and professional student assembly. I think they have like field representatives out there, so looking at that model, but looking at everything from A to Z to see how our membership should be structured. So we will continue to meet. When we get to the point of where we have a draft, we'll bring it to the EA, to the entire body, for it to be considered and discussed, and we'll go from there. At the meeting, Amy was there, Ari, Jason, Tanya, Gary, I'm not sure if I'm missing anybody, at the meeting the other day. I think that's most of the people that were there. I don't know if any of the other people who attended want to add anything or not. No? Okay. Then we'll...
Thank you. Gary, did you have any update on the Cornell Climate Action Plan?
Nope. I'll be sending you guys out more information as things evolve in the next couple weeks. The university is rolling it out on September 15th. We'll get a presentation on it the next day, and there's a resolution that you guys have that is pretty straightforward and it's pretty philosophical more than it's like nuts and bolts, but just saying that we support the concept of a cleaner and more sustainable campus. So I'm hoping that we can all look at that beforehand, and if there's any questions on the front end, any tweaking anyone sees that needs to be done, we can work on that. All the assemblies and the faculty senate will be getting some version of the same resolution. So my fondest dream is that on the 16th of September we're not sitting here word smithing. So just get her done.
Thank you. Larry the cable guy? Gary the cable guy?
Just a quick comment, a brief comment on the climate action plan. I read in the other day in the Daily Sun, I think it was, that the graduate and professional student assembly, it's a major, it's like their number one item, that they really want to see something happen from the institution regarding this. So hopefully we're going to be a part of this as well, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, and this, you know, this thing is tied to, like, looking out to 2050. So, and a lot of it's tied to viability, and a lot of it's tied to money, obviously. So, it's fascinating. It really is.
Thank you. I don't think we have any old business to discuss. Is there any new business that hasn't been incorporated into the agenda already? New business? Open forum? Does anybody have any events or news or anything that they would need to showcase in their edge of the university? Or if our visitors have anything to add? Oh, go ahead.
Well, doing a job. Because
we're going
to have two masters open September 7th.
Good
plug.
That's what this time is for.
Well,
I've
heard about it twice today in two different meetings, but I haven't published it yet, but I've been in and out of my office.
The forum is not organized by the employee assembly. Okay. It's by the president's office directly. Amy, do you have any information about how they...
It's on the website.
Did not, because I was concerned about the protocol of doing that, like whether or not that's something that I should do or not do, or whether that should be done through the upcoming forum on Friday. But I was going to send just to staff, and I just wasn't sure if that was really appropriate.
From my way of thinking, yes, that's appropriate. If you personally have vehicles, there are a lot of departments. Like I know the Johnson School has like a number of listservs, and some are used specifically for this, and others are for like social events or something like that. And whenever appropriate, to use listservs that you have access to forward information I would say yes, absolutely do that.
Okay, we don't have a staff listserv that I know of. I was just going to, I just typed, fortunately it's a small college, so
right.
I just typed them in personally.
Is that okay?
If
you feel it's appropriate and people will not feel
spammed
by it,
right, that
or you're using
right.
an official channel to say something that maybe isn't official about your college where
right.
that would have been the norm.
Right.
So we don't want you to break rules.
Right.
But if it's appropriate for your area, your scope, your you know,
okay.
your building, your college, whatever, I would say absolutely. We rely, Offer Flash is a great example where we have about 1,500 to 1,700 people in that, but it's routinely forwarded on by many people, especially from the HR area.
Okay.
We get wider coverage.
My question was Geneva. Is it going to be webcast or anything like that? Where
it
they
will
can
be.
Do it?
Streamed.
Okay.
Or
live to Geneva or no?
It's going to be live.
Okay.
One camera. It's not fancy, but it's not interactive, but you can
mm-hmm.
real time view it.
Any other open forum items? Okay, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Tanya and seconded by Gary. We are adjourned at 1:30. Thank you, everyone. This was a warm up for next week because I don't know how we're going to
do it.
Well, let me get in touch with David. David is our chair. The chair of our communications department. To ask him if he had any.
Is there any area that you're looking about right now?
Right now, I'm close to the area to be a member. I can
I don't actually. You know, if you could touch base with Tanya, she would have the name. Yeah. Oh.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.